Do yourself a favor. Do not lose your dog tag. Sometimes when I'm visiting the hospital to someone who has just had a new child, I'll ask them right off, what did you name your child? And they'll say, well, we haven't come up with a name yet. It's just baby boy Adam or baby girl Eve at this point. Of course, before they leave, I assume that they will finally name that baby. But you know, that's pretty vague. They'll say, did you go see my baby? Well, sometimes, you know, if the name is like Brown, there might be two or three baby boy Browns. Which one is yours? And so, you know, it's really kind of vague when you just say, my baby doesn't have a name. Not yet, anyway. A man without a country, that's tragic, but a person without a name, you never heard of such a thing. We all have names. I remember visiting with one of the families in my last church, and they had a little five-year-old boy that was really a talker. You know, you couldn't say anything to the parents, or no good they say anything to me, because the little boy was always interrupted. Which brought to mind the boys talking all the time. The parents were sort of apologizing. And a lady said, you know, my son's a lot like a little boy I read about in a book. That little boy was 5 years old before he knew his name was not Shut Up. You know, I guess a lot of kids are like this. What is my name? And a lot of folks go through their life with a nickname. My mother only had two names and I always felt she got cheated. I don't know why, but she just had two names. Her name was Sally. She had a sister, and you know what they named her? Little Sally. You know, that was her name. Literally speaking, her first name was Little. Second name, Sally, and her last name was Patterson. And they called my mother Big Sally and her Little Sally. I felt like they both got cheated. You know, they didn't really have a full name. When I was a boy and the new phone book came out, I always was eager to look through there to find my folks' name. Of course, my name wasn't in there. Well, find my folks' name. At that time, there weren't a lot of Brunsons, you know. And I turned to that page, and there it was. There was our name. And I felt like I belonged. You know, that wasn't a big deal, but my name you won't find anywhere else. But the phone book. That's about how much you're going to find it. And I don't have my name in autograph books, to my recollection. I never signed. Well, nobody ever wanted my name. And I'm not a who's who anywhere that I know of, but in that phone book, I'm a bona fide citizen of Texas. That tells me something. I'm somebody now. I got my name listed somewhere. Maybe you don't, but maybe you got an unlisted number. You're missing out on that thrill, you know. Where else are you going to see your name in print? In your obituary? Well, I don't care to see that one, you know. Well, the government. Now, I guess the government knows most of us better by our Social Security number than they do by our name. When I was a boy, occasionally there would be a stray puppy come by. And the first thing that we boys would do when we saw that stray puppy was to look around his neck, see if there was a name there. And we weren't looking for the dog's name. We knew that wouldn't be on there, but we was looking to see if there was a name on that tag that would identify the owner of that dog. Because if it wasn't, then it was loser's keepers. But on that name tag would be the owner's name and his address and probably his phone number. And there was also one more tag. And that was a tag where he had been vaccinated against rabies. We always hoped, you know, when we look around his neck, that there wouldn't be a dog tag there. And we could keep him and play with him. But we also knew if that owner really loved his dog and thought a lot of him, then he would have a tag around his neck. And it was important that that owner not lose his dog. And thus it was important that his dog not lose that tag. I think sometimes we Christians get a little careless with our dog tag. And sometimes it's hard when we stray into strangers' yards for them to realize that we are heavenly property. I don't think we ought to hide our tags too deep under our fur and make people who are strangers dig around and try to find out if we belong to somebody else. Or on the job, or in the schoolroom, I don't care where you might be, I think people ought to quickly find out that you have been tagged by God, and you belong to Him. Before they decide to adopt you into their scheme of things, and before they decide to make you part of their life, maybe it'd be good that you let them see your dog tag. Let them see it. If you're not ashamed of it, show it. Well, now I'm a Christian. That would settle a lot of matters real quick that we get ourselves into, we wouldn't get into otherwise. Let them know right quick, well, I'm sorry, I'm not up for grabs. I'm not a stray puppy running around that somebody can just snatch off the street. I'm already on. I'm already on. And I'm just here because I'm on an errand. I'm not lost. Now, brethren, no Christian is up for adoption. No Christian is up for grabs. No Christian is up running the street without a home. Not a one of us are. We have an owner who, by the way, bought us. And we have a home, which, by the way, is heaven. No Christian is astray looking for a home. You must never forget who owns you. I think the first thing that Christians forget is who owns them. A little dog doesn't pay a lot of attention to his dog tag. And I'm afraid a lot of Christians don't pay too much attention to theirs either. We belong to Christ. He owns us. And before we can become a child of God's, and before we can become a part of Christ's kennel, so to speak, if you want to put it that way, we have to agree to be His personal person, our personal puppy, our personal dog, our personal person. We become His, and He owns us. And I think Christ wants to go out with us into the jobs and the home and community and say, look, here is my person. Here is my dog. Here is my loved one. He's mine. Yet a lot of Christians forget that they're owned. You know, a dog only has a right to go where the master wants him to go. Christian only has a right to go only where the master wants him to go. Right? We tell our dogs to sit. We tell our dogs to stand. We tell our dogs to stay out and get out. We tell our dogs to shut up. We do that because they're ours. And we do that because we feel like it's best for them. It's surely best for us. And we don't give them any option. I don't say mistreat the dog, but I say you own that dog and therefore you give that dog discipline, orders. Alright? Now after we found out if the dog was owned by somebody, the next thing we did was, what are we going to name him? That was always a game. You have to have a name for a dog. Of course, we would never guess the dog's real name. We would try, you know, is your name Fido? That dog wouldn't respond. You know, you call him all kind of names. He would never do anything. So we just renamed him. We changed his name. And you know, in the Bible, occasionally God changed certain people's names. Now, not always. Very rarely did he do it, but he did it. Abram was later on called Abraham. Jacob was later on called Israel. That's where the country Israel comes from Jacob. He was named. That was his name. Israel is named after a man. Then Saul was later on renamed Paul. Not a great deal of difference, but his name was changed. Now, God doesn't always give new names. And I believe that most of us are going to remain tagged with the name we have. This thought came the other day. You know, on the Mount Transfiguration, when God saw Moses and God saw Elijah, or at least Jesus saw Elijah and Moses, that was their name. Thousands of years had elapsed and they were still named Elijah and Moses. And I guess when you and I get to heaven, I will meet Elijah. And I'm going to call him Elijah. And I see Moses, I'm going to call him Moses. Just think of all the names I'm going to have to learn. And I guess when you get to heaven, you're going to call me Billy Brunson. And I'll call you by your name. I believe it'll stick with you forever. So watch your name and your children, because it's going to be an eternal name. Yeah? Eternal name. I guess we'll be identified in eternity by our name. Well, there's some hard names I'll be in turn trying to learn, I guess. Some of these foreign countries, I could never pronounce half their names. But the point is, it'll stick with you. Now, after we named our dog, there was a third thing that we tried to do. What kind of dog do we have? Now, most of the things that came by our yard were what we would call dog dog. That is, they were just the Duke's mixture of everything going and coming. Well, you either have a dog dog or you have a pedigreed pup. One that's registered with all the papers to go along with it. Well, that kind never strayed by our house. All we ever had was just a dog dog variety. That is, there was nothing unusual about them. They were cute, but I mean, there was nothing super duper about these dogs. None of them were real smart. None of them would win any kind of prize at a dog show. You know, it wasn't long though some other kid come along and called our dog away. You know, he didn't last long. He'd come to our house and stay a few days, and whatever kid could lure him away with whatever way he wanted to, he was gone. He didn't last very long. Now, Jesus, I think, though, doesn't take in anything but dog dogs. He doesn't take anything in but strays. God never has taken in a prima donna. Never has. He never has taken any stunt dogs or any dogs that are tremendous in his eyes. They've all just been dog dogs. Well, now, in some of people's eyes, God has gotten some great pups. You know, in people's eyes, he's got some show dogs. There are a few show people that get saved. Now, he's got Johnny Cash. Boy, he's got a pedigree there. You let Johnny Cash tell you about the pedigree. But he got a show dog. Yeah, didn't he? And sometimes God gets famous dogs. He might even get the president of a country. One to Christ, Chiang Kai-shek. He got a real, I guess you might say, famous dog there. God gets some pedigree dogs. But in God's eyes, they're all just common dogs. That's all they are. They're a mixture of good and evil. And by the way, a lot more evil than they are good. I think there are a lot to be said about this in comparison to our own life. We're all in the same boat, brethren. And I guess that cuts away a lot of pride, and that cuts away a lot of people's feelings that they're superior. People want to feel superior, but you know, really and truly, we're all in the same boat. We're just strays that came by and God picked up and God took in. And a few of them he might rename, but you know what? When God renamed a person, it was primarily showing what his occupation would be rather than giving him a new name. They renamed, in a sense, John. It was John the Baptizer. But that's primarily what he did. You could just say, Billy's got a new name, Billy the Preacher. It could be Susie the Dishwasher. Most of the new names that God gave were occupational titles. Saul became Paul. Paul is the little. Saul was big in his own eyes, and God said, now I'm going to make you little in man's eyes. That's about the only kind of change that God ever made. But I'll say this, as soon as God gets us, he puts a name tag upon us, or a dog tag, however you want to look at it, puts a label upon us. You may come in as a dog dog, and I think you do, but when God gets through with you, you're a pedigree. And I believe this. You come in as a mongrel, and when God gets through with you, you're a pedigree. And he gives you papers. And we're called a child of the king. Look at Luke 10:20 now. Luke 10:20. Luke 10:20. We're going to read about the pedigree registry now. I like this. Now, the disciples had gone out. These were 70 disciples, not the 12, but 70. They'd gone out, they had performed some great miracles. And boy, they were really tickled because of what they were able to do. It says in verse 20, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits, that is the evil spirits, are subject unto you, but rather rejoice over this fact, because your names are written in heaven. That is the pedigree list. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. You know, we Christians seem to have a little capacity to rejoice. It's hard for us to rejoice. And some of us can't rejoice unless we've got some of these miracles taking place. But Jesus said, listen now, there's something that you ought to rejoice over more than all the spectacular. And that's rejoice over the fact that your name has been recorded in heaven. It's been written down. We used to have a bird, though. We had two of them. One was a pointer. I can't go, if you don't know the difference, I can't explain to you, but one was a pointer and one was an Irish setter. The pointer was a lot younger than the setter. My dad liked to hunt. I wasn't really too fond of hunting, but I'd go out with my daddy hunting. I used to like to watch the dogs work. The setter was good. Well, the pointer, he wasn't too good. But the pointer would cover about 10 times the ground that the setter would. But he had a few faults. Number one, he would point any kind of bird he came across. Well, that's no good in hunting. You're just hunting quail, you see. You're not hunting phelarks and cheetahs and everything else. And grasshoppers. He didn't say anything. But boy, he covered the ground. He had another fault. He ran so fast and so hard, he ran right through a covey of quail before he could stop. Once he stopped, it was too late. Number three, he was gun shy. By that I mean, when you shot a gun, he ran off and you had to find him. Number four, the dog wouldn't retrieve, and I can't much blame. I remember one time my dad tried to teach him to retrieve, and he'd look at my dad, them old feathers in his mouth, and he'd shake his head, you know. I don't blame him. I wouldn't want my mouth full of feathers either. But he wouldn't retrieve. Then the last thing wrong with that dog was that he'd run so hard and so fast, that he completely became exhausted, and we literally had to carry him back to where we came from. A hunter toting his dog back to the car. But you know, that old setter, he did everything right. He did everything right. The pointer, he couldn't do anything wrong. But you know, we still love that old pointer. We still did. And we always brought him back home. You know, he was my pet. Not the setter, the pointer. He was the son's pet. Do you get my point? Sometimes you and I do everything in the world that Heavenly Father thinks is wrong, but he brings us back home and he still calls by name because what? We're the son's pet. And he takes us out again the next time and he knows what we're going to do, but he brings us back home again and says, his name is still written in my book because you're my son's pet. I can say one thing about my little old pointer. He tried. Yeah. You can give him an A for effort if you give him F for service. But he tried. He tried to be a top bird dog. He just couldn't cut the mustard. But I didn't care. You know, I didn't make any. Daddy had him a dog that could set and point. I didn't care. And you and I can't always do the same thing our brothers in the Lord do. And I really don't think Jesus cares if you can't set and your brother can. If you can't preach and your brother can. If you can't pray up a storm and your brother can. I really don't believe he cares that much. My bird dog wasn't a bird dog. He was just a pet. And that's all he was. He served his purpose. For me, he did. I didn't have much fun with an Irish setter. You get near him while he was eating, if he was his master, he'd bite you. But he was good as trade. But I had a dog I could play with every day. I couldn't play with the setter. And the setter had his faults. When it thundered and lightning, he'd jump out and run away. Get out of the fence. That dog would climb a fence like you've never seen. Climb straight up. Never stop. My daddy couldn't keep him in the yard when it thundered and lightened. Pointer wouldn't run off. He stayed there. I got tired looking at a set of old neighborhood. You know, really, I got tired of that stuff. Pointer didn't do that. Well, you see, God, I think, has all kinds of people. And we're not going to be the son. And I think what God does, he says, I'll give you A for effort. Not too concerned about your service. I think Christ still loves us if we don't run in certain circles, or if we do run in circles and never seem to get the job done. He loves us even if we make efforts that seemingly fail, if everything we do is a blunder, if we even make more work than we accomplish. I think he still gives us our dog tag. I think he still writes our name right there in that ledger. I think he's concerned about our heart a lot more than he is our record. And that pointer tried. He tried too hard, but he tried. And I believe Christ is only concerned about those that try. You know, the success end of our work is the Holy Spirit's business anyway. It's not my business. That's his work. All I have to do is try. Just try. Step out on faith, use some energy, and try to please him. Dog tried to please him, but he couldn't do it. That did not lower my estimation of that dog, nor does if you can't do certain things, and if you seem to fail, lower his estimation of you. He's concerned about your heart, not about your record. Not how many wins and losses you have, but just how many races do you run. That's all he cares about. Now again, I say a dog tag identifies who you belong to. It never tells what kind of dog you are. What do we put all of our stress on today as we talk to one another? On the record. Not on who do I belong to, but what is my track record? I think we're asking the wrong question. What do we say? Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Why? Why do you rejoice? I'm going to give you 6 quick reasons why you ought to rejoice. That your name is written in heaven. Number one, and quickly, you are an original. For better or for worse, have you won't take that, you are an original. There's nobody else like you. I don't care where you look on this face of the earth, you're different. And your name recorded in that book means you're different. You're not just another group or one among a group. You're different. And not only that, but God will give you an original place in his heart. It'll not be one that you get shut out of. Our dogs both got the same food. They both got the same treatment. When sick, they were both treated just alike. There was no partiality shown. Number one, your name written down. Rejoice because you're different. and he lists you as being something different. He just doesn't say, here's sower number 38. No. Here's so-and-so. You're different. And there's no one who can take your place in the Lord's eyes, both in service and in love. There's no one that can take your place. Or someone may try to do your work. If you don't do it, they can't take your place. You're unique. And when you put that name up there, your name, nobody can take your place. Secondly, you ought to rejoice because you're listed as a citizen of heaven. A citizen of heaven. You're part of a chosen, select group of people. Not chosen because you were worthy, but chosen because God loves you. God loves you. Then he says, I promise you a special place. A special place. I'm not just going to heaven to wander the streets for eternity. You know? If I went up there, I'd be as lost as all. I wouldn't know where to go down those streets to go. Where would I go? But there's going to be some place up there that'll have my name on it. Somewhere, I'll find my place. We're not just going to be wanderers all over heaven trying to find some place to stay. We'll have a place. And because my name is written down up there, there's a place. It's like a reserved parking spot in a parking lot with your name on it. That's your spot. Well, if your name is not written down, you don't have a spot. There's not going to be any extra parking space. There's not going to be any blanks. There's going to be just exactly the same number of spots as there are names in that book of life. No more and no less. No spare rooms for company. There won't be any company. You'll get your spot because your name is there. It's like reserving a seat in some type of ball game. That's yours. That's your seat. In a sense, it's got your name on it. Jesus said, if I go away, I'll prepare a place for you. It's got your names written down. It's put in your reserve me a place here. And I'll come again that you might be able to go to that place. That's yours. There's the place. So rejoice because when you get up there, you won't have to go to the hotel. You can go to your own home. Thirdly, rejoice because your name up there entitles you to a rich inheritance, both now and hereafter. I'm not interested in 99 9/10% of all the wills that are transacted in all the world. Why? Because my name can't be found on those wills anywhere. It's worth nothing to me when wills are probated and read every day. It's not going to get me anything. Because my name's not down there on the inheritance list. Now, if my name was on the inheritance list of your will, I'd be interested in your will. And so those who have their names written down rejoice because you are on the inheritance list. Our dogs inherited the scraps off our tables, but that was pretty good. You know, pretty good. And they inherited a lot of things from us, care and looking after in this life. But what I'm saying is there's a lot that we get because our name is on the inheritance list. I get answered prayers, I get forgiveness, I get protection, I get provision, I get guidance. All the promises are sort of like things that somebody promises you in their will. You can have the clock, you can have the radio. God says, I'll do this and I'll do that. Because my name is written down, I can say, listen, that's on the inheritance list. I need that thing pretty bad. I need it now. When my dogs were hungry, they were dog hungry now. I could say, well, why don't you wait until you get into dog land to get your food? That's no good. I didn't feed every dog in the block. I fed mine. That's all I feed. Nobody else. And I'd run the rest of them off. They had an inheritance. We do too. Whatever God wants us to carry out for Him, He has underwritten it with an inheritance clause which says, I shall supply all needs necessary to carry out that task. If I'm not assigned a task to do something, there is no need for Him to give me in my inheritance those things that I do not need, and He will not. I didn't give my dogs cars and airplanes. They didn't need any. I didn't read them any bedtime stories. They didn't need any. And so be careful here. The inheritance is what you need to carry out His work and plan for you. It might have been good to give my dog earplugs. That would at least made him not gunshot, you know. Could have done that. And I think the Lord will do things like that for me. Fourth thing that you ought to rejoice about is your name is written down in heaven is that it means you're precious in His sight. You know, one of the great problems that I have, and a lot of people have, you tell me your name and I've forgotten it that quick. Why do you forget names so quick? Here comes a low blow. You don't really care about that person. Not deep down. Not deep down. That person's not precious to you. Now, when your name is written down, it means that God's going to remember that name. That name, among all the names, is precious to Him. That name means something. Jesus said of His sheep, I call my sheep, in John 10, I call my sheep by their name. He doesn't say, hey, you. He calls your name because you're precious to Him. Hey, woman. Hey, man. Hey, girl. Hey, boy. No, it's always by name. He addresses you by name. You're precious to Him. Look at Psalms 139. It's sort of like the boy goes and carves his name, girlfriend's name, in a tree. It's not because he wants to be a tree surgeon. That name's precious to him. And we put those names sometimes in the wrong places, all over bridges and everything else. But I mean, I get the guy's sentiment, you know. This is what the Lord does. I want to put your name down. I want to put it inside of a heart. I want it to stand out. This is something meaningful to me. It's the name. Jesus loves you. If you'd like to put it that way, that's the way it is. I want the name down there. I want the record to bear. I'm in love with this person. You want to put it that way? Psalms 139, 17 and 18. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Notice not how precious are my thoughts of God, but how precious are God's thoughts of me. How great is the sum of them. I'll tell you this, God has more good thoughts than you ever had of Him. Really. If I should count all of these precious thoughts that God has of me, they are more in number than the sand of the sea. Can you picture that? More than the sand of the sea. He writes down that name. God doesn't have precious thoughts of those that are not His own. I had precious thoughts of my dogs, not of somebody else's, but of mine. Had some good times with my dogs. The fifth reason you ought to rejoice is that you are listed as one with your brothers. The book of life is not divided into sections. The good, the better, and the best. There's no distinction there. Your name could follow that of Billy Graham. God doesn't rearrange the names all the time. Now, top of the list is John the Baptist, and third down the line is Billy Graham. And 5,000,032 is down there, old you. No. Your name could be right after whoever you got saved. In other words, if somebody got saved at 501, you got saved 501 and a half, that's where your name goes. And he who got saved at 501 may become a Billy Graham. And all you may become is just a Christian dishwasher. But your name is right there equal with his. It's not one written in big, bold type and one written in small, thin letters. No, you all get equal billing with the Lord. With the Lord. Not in the eyes of man, maybe not, but with God, I'm saying, in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll find your name written just as legible and just as big and right in order as everybody else. He won't single you out and say, you're a nothing, a nobody, and I'll put you down here in a garbage heap. No, He puts you right in line. All the others. No partiality when it comes to putting your name down. You got to underline one, italicize one, and leave one unitalicized, one not on the line. Look what he said in John 17, his prayer. John 17, verse 20, and verse 21, and verse 22. I do not pray just for these alone that are mine, but I pray for them also, which will yet believe on me through their word. That is the disciples. He was praying for his disciples. I pray that they might all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them. Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. Rejoice. You are equal with your brother. It may not seem like it, and they may say, you have to have this and you have to have that to be equal with me. Don't you kid yourself. We're one. You may not be one in talents, and you may not be one in opportunities, but you're one in person. You're one in brotherhood. I don't care what they say. You're one. Your name is down there. There's no asterisk. Look at the bottom of the page for conditions. No. You're one. And then last of all, rejoice because you are listed as one who is set aside for the Lamb. You know, it's not the only book that God's keeping. These are not the only records that are being transcribed in heaven. There are also books being kept of deeds and words and thoughts and works, even on you and me, as well as the lost people. But of all the books that it's important to get your name placed in, dear brother, it's the book of life. It's the book of life. Everybody is going to have their name written in the other books, but it's the book of life that's going to make the difference. Why? Because on the cover it says, the Lamb's book. The other books, my record books. The Lamb's book is the one you need to get your name put in. Look, if you will, at Revelation 21 at the value of having your name written in the Lamb's book. 2015. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the eternal lake of fire. That's what separates the saved from the lost, having your name put in the book of life. Rejoice, dear brethren, if your name is in the book of life, because you're not going to perish. And if your name is not there, you don't have a chance unless you get your name put there. Look at Revelation now, 21:27. And there shall in no way enter into heaven anything that defiles or works an abomination or makes a lie, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Not Christ the guide or Christ the example or Christ the inspire, but Christ the Lamb. What's that got to do with it? Christ becomes the sacrificial lamb that I must identify with to become a Christian. In other words, he died in my place. I don't have to face the eternal lake of fire because I become identified with the Lamb. How do I do that? I let him dog tag me. I let him call me his property. And I give my life to him. And then I become the Lamb's possession. And what will the Lamb do? He saves. And what do I need? Life. And what does the Lamb give? The book of life. Unless I am willing to give myself to Jesus Christ, who is my Lamb sacrifice, and resurrected, unless I'm willing to give my life to him, then I'm not associated with Christ the Lamb. And you can be associated with Christ the healer and be lost, or Christ the example and be lost, but not Christ the Lamb. You'll be saved. And he puts you in the Lamb's book of life. And then he's not concerned about statistics. He's concerned about my heart. Am I willing to keep my dog tag? Am I willing to keep trying to be his? The results don't really matter. Am I still in my heart dog tag? You know what he said to the servant? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not well done, or well done, thou good and successful servant. Again, the success is the Holy Spirit's department, thou faithful servant. And you know, you don't have the fellowship and communion of Jesus speaking to the servant, and you don't have the encouragement from Christ to the servant until the servant has first become faithful. Then Christ presents himself and makes his presence aware to us. A lot of times I feel like we don't feel Christ near us because we haven't yet tried to be faithful. He said to the faithful servant, after faithfulness, well done, well done. He reveals himself to us after we have tried, not before. It's an aftermath encouragement, not a prelude encouragement. Don't lose your dog tag. Don't lose your dog tag. Father, we give thee thanks this morning for the privilege we have. We do rejoice that our name is written down. And we have no doubt just scratched the surface of all the reasons we ought to be rejoicing. And we ask that you enlarge upon these today as we stop and think and meditate. Father, may we do ourselves a favor. I mean a big favor. Let's not lose our dog tag. Let's not forget our dog tag. If there's someone here this morning who does not have their name written down, Father, we ask you to reveal that to them. We can't know that. Impress upon their mind that all they have to do is give their life to Christ the Lamb, surrender all of their allegiance to him, and be willing to be dog tagged, ownership completed. We ask that you'll persuade them this morning, with whatever pressure it takes, to get their name written down in the Lamb's book of life. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.